Well, good morning. Already this morning, we, in so many ways, have sang of the goodness of the mercy of God. David sang of the goodness and mercy of God in Psalm 23. Is it amazing that we get to wade in the same waters of those truths that David did? So that's where our journey is going to take us this morning. We'll be looking this morning at a familiar psalm, if not the most familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Before we begin, because this psalm is so familiar, I would encourage you to approach Psalm 23 with fresh eyes, fresh ears, and fresh hearts. Not because there's anything new or novel in the text. The truths in this text were evident to King David when he wrote it, to the people of Israel when they sang it in worship, and to God's church throughout the ages. These are timeless truths. Yes, there is a comfort that comes with the familiarity of the text, but also let there be the anticipation of experiencing an even deeper understanding of the psalm. Truths which will help us to see even more clearly, with more vivid newness, the blessings we have in Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. I'm an orchestra conductor by trade. In my 30-plus years of teaching, I have rehearsed and performed a number of orchestral works numerous times. When I return to a piece of music that I've not conducted for a number of years, I begin by listening to the piece. Quite regularly, as I am listening, I'll hear something new, a nuance within the melody that I hadn't heard before, a change of harmony that struck me for the first time, a thematic connection between the sections of the piece that I had not perceived before. While studying Psalm 23 in preparation for this sermon, I experienced the same thing. I experienced a better awareness of the literary flow of the psalm. I gained an understanding of the truths in the psalm more deeply. I perceived connections between the sections within the psalm that I had not seen before. As we walk through this psalm together this morning, I pray that you will have the same experience. Let's begin by hearing the psalm in its entirety. Please follow along in your Bibles or follow the text on the screen as I read aloud. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you are our good shepherd, and as our good shepherd, amongst many other blessings, you have blessed us with your word. The truths of your word give us guidance, comfort, and protection. May the Holy Spirit help us to hear your words speak to us. May these truths sink deeply into our minds and hearts. May the Holy Spirit guide us as we seek to live out these truths in our lives. And may all of this be to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen. As we work our way through Psalm 23 this morning, our journey will be guided by the structure of the psalm. The first portion of the psalm, the first stanza, presents the Lord as our good shepherd. The second stanza presents the Lord as our good host. While each stanza portrays a different aspect of our Lord, they also work together to display an even more grand picture of our Lord and the blessings we have as his children, as his sheep. The main idea in today's text is, as children of God, the Lord cares for us as our good shepherd and our good host, now and forever. Let's begin by looking at the Lord as our shepherd. As stated earlier, Psalm 23 is quite familiar, or should we say popular. I think that part of this popularity is due to us seeking out this psalm when we are in need of comfort or reassurance. One of the many reasons why Psalm 23 is so comforting and so reassuring is that it is full of declaratory statements. Right out of the gate, David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David makes a statement about a characteristic of God and how that truth impacts him. David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I will have no want. I will not lack what I need." But why would David make such a bold statement about his relationship with the Lord? Why would David see God as shepherd and himself as a sheep, and inferred in that, seeing all of God's children as sheep? Understanding more about the history and context of the imagery used within the psalm will help us answer these questions. Even before David's time, sheep were a central part of the Israelite economy. They were raised to provide food, milk, meat. They were also raised to provide wool and were a major part of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Because of the predominance of sheep within the culture, the tendencies of the shepherds and sheep would have been well known to David and to his people. Knowing the tendencies of shepherd and sheep will help us better understand who we are as children of God and how the Lord our God cares for us. Today, sheep are typically placed in a large fenced-in field and left to fend for themselves all day. In David's time and before, this was not the case. In ancient Palestine, sheep were totally dependent upon their shepherd. The sheep were unable to fend for themselves. The shepherd was their source for provision, guidance, and protection. Without their shepherd, the sheep would certainly perish. With this understanding of the role of shepherd to a sheep, David can declare with all confidence that with the Lord as his shepherd, he will never lack what he needs. The Lord's provision, guidance, and protection will be thorough and complete. Verse 2 of the psalm gives specific examples of what David declared in verse 1. Please look at that verse with me again. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Pastures and waters are examples of provision. The Lord our shepherd is our provider. However, it is more than just adequate provision. It is good provision from the good shepherd. The pastures are green, full of nourishing food. The waters are still, calm waters that are good to drink from. Even in this, the shepherd also displays his wise protection for his sheep. Sheep do not swim well, and falling into moving water can be quite risky, especially for an animal that wears a heavy wool coat. Running water is dangerous for sheep. And as he leads his sheep to still water, the shepherd is not only providing nourishment, but also providing protection. That image of protection is also displayed in the sheep lying down in the green pasture. Sheep are fearful animals. They're inclined to flee when they sense danger. Because of this, sheep will only lie down when they feel protected. The good shepherd provides good nourishment and good protection for his sheep. The sheep lie down and rest, being nourished and protected by the guidance of their shepherd.
As children of God, we can be confident that the Lord our shepherd will provide for us and protect us. And in this, we can fully rest. Verse 3 develops the idea of nourishment a bit further. While verse 2 speaks about what the Lord our shepherd does, verse 3 communicates the results, the outcome of what the Lord our shepherd does. Please look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The care and provision of our shepherd nourishes us in a restorative manner. We are strengthened. We are comforted. Our souls are restored. Because of our shepherd, we're healthy sheep. However, there's even more of an outcome. We, the healthy sheep, are guided in paths of righteousness for his namesake. This restoration through nourishment and guidance leads to right living, to righteousness, which glorifies God. Reading God's word, prayer, praise, Christian fellowship, these are all ways that we receive spiritual nourishment. To borrow a phrase from Pastor Brian, these normal rhythms that we practice here at Light in the Desert Church, they help us to grow in sanctification and walk in a way that brings glory to God, our good shepherd. We bring glory to him for his name's sake. While we know that God, our shepherd, will provide, guide, and protect us, we also know that we will encounter seasons in our life that are difficult. Whether through the actions of others or our own actions, we can and will encounter various trials. There could be times where it seems like we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, a time of deep darkness. However, even in these times, we need not fear. Our good shepherd is with us. Look at the first part of verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Our good shepherd is with us while we are walking through these dark times and places. We, as God's sheep, are never walking alone. Our good shepherd is always with us. And while he's walking with us, he makes his presence known to us. The shepherd imagery in the latter part of verse 4 helps us to better understand how. Let's dive back into that imagery again. While a shepherd keeps watch over his sheep, he uses two main implements to help in this task. We sang about these earlier today, a rod and a staff. The rod is a short, heavy, club-like device. The staff is longer, thinner, and has a hook or crook at one end. The rod is used to fight off wild animals and for gentle prodding of the sheep. The staff is used when stubborn sheep require more stern prodding and also to pull sheep from harm. As I was writing that, I was thinking, there was times where God used the rod, gentle prodding, but there was also times where I'd been stubborn and he's had to use his staff. It's amazing. But here, in these verses, we get a strong imagery of the shepherd's good guidance, protection, and correction. And because of this guidance, protection, and correction, the sheep, they're comforted. They have no reason to fear danger or evil. Our good shepherd's rod and staff for us is his word. God in his great providence has given us the Bible, the literal breathed out words of God. May we, as God's sheep, humbly seek the guidance, comfort, and correction found in the scriptures. In the truths of God's word, we can be without fear and find comfort at all times, and especially in times of darkness. Verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 23 provide a vivid description of the Lord as shepherd. They speak in rich and meaningful detail of all the wonderful blessings the Lord bestows upon his sheep as he cares for them, provides for them, corrects them, and guides them. While the word good is not contained in the first four verses of the psalm, it is more than apparent in the words that are used that the Lord is not just a shepherd, but a good shepherd. And 1,000 years after Psalm 23 was written, Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd." Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, so Jesus cares for his children. Yes, Jesus provides, protects, guides, and corrects his children, his sheep. But he also takes it one step further. He lays his life down for his sheep. As recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus proclaims, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Young David, speaking to King Saul before he faced Goliath, recounted when, as a shepherd, he had to fight off lions and bears in defense of his sheep. David literally risked his life for his sheep. David was a good shepherd. But Jesus surpassed David. Jesus was and is the ultimate good shepherd. Jesus didn't just risk his life, he gave his life on the cross for his sheep. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Later in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, after Jesus first states that he is the good shepherd, Jesus also declares that he will lay down his life so that he may take it up again. Jesus willingly laid down his life. Jesus further states that he has the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. Through his atoning death on the cross and his death-conquering resurrection, Jesus Christ provided the way of reconciling sinful man to a holy God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, the sacrifices were only temporary. They had to be done over and over again. However, Christ's sacrifice was permanent. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. This permanent reconciliation is also proclaimed in the second stanza of Psalm 23. Verses 5 and 6 declare the Lord as our good host. The imagery in the final two verses of Psalm 23 paints the picture of the Lord as our host. In the first stanza, the Lord as shepherd has watched over us, protected us, provided for us, and guided us. But here, in the second stanza, that good shepherd takes us out of the sheepfold and invites us into his home. We're not left in the field. We're brought in to dwell with our host, the good shepherd, our Savior. Listen for the host-like imagery as I read verses 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. In these verses, David describes being the Lord's guest at a meal. A table has been prepared for him, yet it is not just a meal. It's an abundant meal with a cup that overflows. Bountiful provision from a strong host, a host whose strength makes David's enemies powerless to prevent him from enjoying the graciousness of his host. Isn't our great shepherd amazing? Takes us into his home, prepares a table before us, and we are fully secure in the power of our Lord, our good shepherd. But it doesn't stop there. Not only is David the guest of the host, he is an honored guest. In the Old Testament culture, anointing someone with oil was a way to show special recognition. Our shepherd shows us special recognition, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Yet not I, but Christ in me. As God's children, our good shepherd host brings us into his home as an esteemed guest and gives us bountiful provision and strong protection. Also, in this culture, it was typical for hosting to be a temporary arrangement, usually one or two nights. There was lots of traveling, and so they would just take care of them for just a little while. However, in verse 6, David speaks of a non-typical situation. He has been invited to dwell in the house of the Lord, not just for a night or two, but forever. And because of all of this, David can say with confidence that surely goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life. Likewise, as God's children, we can say with the same confidence as David that the Lord, our good host, will honor us as his esteemed guest with bountiful provision, strong protection, and a home forevermore. Wow, what amazing truths. No wonder people over the centuries have been drawn to this psalm, seeking and finding comfort. There is such a peace in being able to declare with confidence that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Such security, knowing that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But what do we do with these truths? How does this knowledge impact our daily lives? Well, if you are a child of God, someone saved by grace through faith in the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, then fully rest in and fully trust in your position as a highly valued sheep who has a good shepherd, the ultimate good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ, the Lamb of God, accomplished on the cross, your good shepherd gives you abundant provision, protection, guidance, and correction. Your good shepherd, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, gives you what you need to be a healthy sheep. Be that healthy sheep. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of God as your shepherd leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As you're walking, remember that the good shepherd is also your good host. He has invited you into his home, into his presence through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has accomplished, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot say with confidence that the Lord is your shepherd. Truth be told, you're a lost sheep without a shepherd. How unsettling it must be not to have surety, to not know that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would like to know more about the ultimate good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and what it means to be his follower, please reach out. After this morning's service, talk with me, Pastor Brian, Pastor Jared, or a church member around you. We would love to talk with you more about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And may we all rejoice in the truth that, as children of God, the Lord cares for us as our good shepherd and good host now and forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here this morning. We thank you for this time that you have given us to bathe in the truths of your word. May your Holy Spirit continually remind us that you are our shepherd, our good shepherd, our good shepherd who has invited us to dwell with you, and not just for a day, but forever. O Lord, our shepherd, may we, your sheep, take rest in you and trust in you more fully each and every day as you lead us. And may it all be to the glory and praise of God. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.